This is the Winchester Talking Newspaper for the week ending the 8th of October 2021. Hello and welcome to the Winchester and District Talking Newspaper with extracts from the Hampshire Chronicle for the week ending the 8th of October, which this week have been edited by Margaret Boyden and Linda Vincent. Your readers today are Jane Rutter.
Hello.
Norma York.
Hello.
And Margaret Boyden.
Hello.
And I'm your presenter, Keith Vincent. And the main headlines this week: campaign grows for a Lido Lido. Homeless charity officially opens new housing. And council target for 1,000 homes. So, Jane, may we have the headline story first, please?
Campaign grows for a Lido. Support is growing for a Lido in Winchester city centre on the site of the River Park Leisure Centre. A petition urging Winchester City Council to support the creation of the outdoor swimming pool garnered more than 1,000 signatures in its first 2 weeks. The campaign has been launched by the newly formed Winchester Lido Group in response to repeated calls over the years for an outdoor swimming venue. The City Council's December 2020 walking survey on North Walls Park suggested the possibility of a Lido, and the North Walls consultation feedback in 2019 showed the strongest support, over 70%, for outdoor swimming. The Council's 2021 consultation on the North Walls Park plan noted that the most popular suggestion for other outdoor rooms was for a Lido. The Council is expected to publish its plans for the leisure centre and park this autumn. After many years of closures, Lidos have enjoyed a renaissance in recent years, with ones at Lymington and Hilsey in Portsmouth. Winchester used to be home to a river swimming pool off Garnier Road in St Cross and a Lido on Worthy Road, both closed in the 1970s when the River Park Leisure Centre opened. Campaigners say demand for outdoor swimming across the UK has increased by 1.5 to 3 times, according to estimates from Outdoor Swimmers Trends reports in February this year. In 2019, Swim England estimated that 7.5 million people in the UK swam outdoors, with women making up more than half of those who take to our rivers, lakes and lidos. Campaign supporter Paul Broderick said, "Outdoor swimming can be one of the most exhilarating things to do. The coolness of the water can leave you physically and emotionally reinvigorated and with a strong sense of well-being. Outdoor swimming in the sea, in a lake or at a lido, with friends, family or competitively, can be one of the most enjoyable of activities." Lucy Taylor, who started the petition, said, "Swimming outside is life-affirming. Over the years, it has helped me through the highs and lows of life. Lidos create an amazing community, and Winchester would be a better place for one." Lucy is the founder of Make Work Play, which says, "We are on a mission to harness the power of play to create happy, healthy, collaborative teams, because we believe it's easier to get the hard work done when you're having fun." The petition runs until the end of this month and will be presented to the council on November the 3rd at a full council meeting. Anyone wanting to sign the petition or find out more can visit www.winchesterlido.org. And there's a photograph showing the original Lido on Worthy Lane under construction a long time ago, I wouldn't like to say. But of course, it's now a car park, isn't it? The old swimming area. Thank you.
Homeless charity officially opens new housing. A charity supporting homeless and vulnerable people has officially opened its on-site accommodation, although it has been fully occupied since June. The new building is next to Trinity, current day centre at Derngate, and comprises 12 ensuite flatlets with communal lounge and kitchen. There is also a community space for non-residents. The project is designed to support people who have been repeatedly rough sleeping and offers a range of activities and therapies to help them get back their lives on track. A new accommodation is based on housing first principles, that stable and secure housing is essential prerequisite to turn lives around, achieve positive and sustainable change, and it is more cost effective than other interventions. The active engagement approach is used to support people's strengths, goals and aspirations, giving individuals choice and control. Where required, harm reduction programmes are offered. A resident in the new building said, "This will be a real lifesaver for me. I can use the therapies and support on offer to knock it all on the head, overcome my addiction and get back to working and reconnect with my family." Brigadier retired Tom Blythe, who facilitated the lead gift for the 1.5 million capital appeal through a major donations from the DEFLOGVQ Trust, cut the ribbon and opened the new building. The communal lounge has been named Ben's Place in memory of their late son, who was supported for many years by Trinity. Brigadier Blythe said, "This is an inspirational project that will help change the lives of many of those who have fallen on desperately hard times, the homeless and the socially isolated, the outcast. Trinity is a remarkable charity run by extraordinary people. We applaud their successes with the splendid Bradbury View project and the invaluable service it will provide." Thanking the donors to the project, appeal patron HM Lord Lieutenant of Hampshire, Nigel Atkinson, Squire, said, "We are so grateful to everyone who contributed to enable the building of this wonderful new facility, from major trusts and foundations to local businesses and individuals." The building has been named Bradbury View in recognition of a major donation from the Bradbury Foundation. It is an environmentally friendly green construction, highly insulated with an array of photovoltaic cells on the roof. Trinity Chief Executive Sue McKenna added, "Anyone can become homeless. It can happen through a relationship breakdown, losing your job or just bad luck. Trinity has been helping people to turn their lives around for nearly 35 years. Bradbury View will open a whole new chapter for Trinity's work with the homeless and vulnerable people in Winchester. Watch this space." And there are a number of pictures. I think the most important one is cutting the ribbon to Ben's Place. And there's Lord Portsmouth and Tom Blythe. There's Steve Bryan and the Mayor of Winchester, Councillor Vivian Ashwell, and Chair of the Trustees, Peter North, and Winchester City Council leader Lucille Thompson, and the Bishop of Winchester, all smiling and looking very happy.
Council target for 1,000 homes. Winchester civic chiefs are intent on pressing on with building 1,000 new homes by 2031, a meeting heard. The City Council has built 372 since it launched the initiative, with the latest to be completed, the 77 homes in the valley in Stanmore. They are due to be officially opened later this year, which is the centenary of the completion of the first houses on the Stanmore estate. The Council's initial target was 30 a year, with 300 in total, but the Council, under both main parties, has increased their ambitions. The 372 include 287 new builds, some 65 purchased and 20 at Emmaus and Trinity, the City Council Business and Housing Committee heard. The Council is still considering setting up a standalone company that would submarket rented housing with the focus on Winnell. Council Director Richard Botham said the key issue was securing land, and more than £250 million has been set aside to make purchases in the future. It is easier to build houses since the government lifted restrictions on borrowing in 2018. Several new homes have been created in former common rooms at council property in Stanmore. Councillor Jamie Scott, himself a council tenant, asked, "Are we going to live to regret taking away the common rooms and library branch?" COVID has shown, therefore, there are a lot of people in isolation. There are no spots for people to gather because those spaces are now homes. Councillor Hugh Lumby questioned whether the council was building in the right places. He said there was a big demand in Oslebury, with 13 people on the waiting list, but no plans to build. Yet Whiteley, with 15 people on the list, is the place where the council is buying 58 homes. Councillor Lumley said he had heard that 80% of the rental properties on the Isle of Wight had been lost in the last year. There has been no decline in Winchester, the committee heard. Councillor Scott said he would like stronger links between the City Council and the potential tenants. We need to crack the nut in local lettings and make local people have access to new homes that are being built. The good old-fashioned area housing offices should be restored so young people know who to go to. We used to have it in the good old days, and we need to bring those days back.
Thank you. That concludes the headlines. Now we continue with the death announcements, then Christian comment, followed by letters to the editor, Chronicle comment, first person and Belgarum. So we start with the death announcements this week. Bold, Rodney Harold Bold, who died peacefully on the 21st of September after a long illness. Emptage, John Emptage, who died peacefully on the 17th of September. Hyde, Janet Hyde, died peacefully at home on the 30th of September, aged 79. Moon, John Moon, died at home on the 20th of September, aged 69. Watson, Callum Watson, died on the 27th of September after a courageous fight with cancer, aged 60. And White, Trevor White, died peacefully at the Winchester Hospice on the 22nd of September, aged 70. And now, Margaret, I think you've got a Christian comment, please.
Yes, and this has been written by the Reverend Philip Crinks, who's the rector of St Faith's Parish at St Cross, and it's headed St Francis in Winchester. In 1938, an extraordinary stained glass window was installed in the church at St Cross by Hugh Easton, who later designed the Battle of Britain and Nurses' Memorial windows in Westminster Abbey. The window shows St Francis, as in many depictions he is surrounded by birds. These depictions recall the famous day in the Spoleto Valley when the birds flocked to Francis and he blessed them and even preached to them. "My brother birds, you should greatly praise your Creator and love him always. He clothed you with feathers and gave you wings for flying. Among all his creatures, he made you free and gave you the purity of the air." But our window does not show Francis with the birds of Assisi. Instead, Francis blesses the herringale, grey heron, tern, kingfisher and magpie. Hugh Easton makes Francis come to Winchester. The saint blesses our birds, especially those we see on the Itchen. The same birds which Easton's patrons, Noel and Lily Hanbury of St Crossgrange, saw on their walks in the water meadows in the 1930s. The encounter Francis had with the birds that day showed his fresh, radical, spiritual insight. As the centuries roll on, he becomes not less significant as a Christian teacher. His delight in God's creation and his Christian care for and commitment to it. By a happy coincidence, the annual commemoration of Francis' life this year fell on Monday at the end of Winchester Green Week. This year's Green Week saw many of us involved in events to understand better how we can be good stewards of God's creation. Then Sunday Churches Together in Winchester service at the cathedral saw local churches gather in worship. We thanked God for his goodness, prayed for forgiveness for our part in environmental damage, and supported each other in taking action, especially on greener energy and reduced consumption to limit climate change. By doing this, we were applying Francis' approach to our own time and place. There is much to be concerned about when we consider the state and trajectory of our stewardship of creation. There is an urgent need to change and open our minds and hearts and to act. And the example of Francis also reminds us that our response to creation begins with delight and gratitude for its beauty. With Francis, we share it in the praise it is always singing to the Creator, as in his canticle of Brother Sun. Dear Mother Earth, who day by day unfoldest blessings on our way, alleluia. The flowers and fruits that in thee grow, let them God's glory also show. O sing ye, alleluia. Let all things their Creator bless and worship God in humbleness. Alleluia, alleluia. To God all thanks and praise belong. Join in the everlasting song. O sing ye, alleluia. Perhaps the next time you walk by the ocean, the herring gull, tern, kingfisher and others will flock around you. Be sure to listen to the praise they are singing. Join in with it. Open your heart and take action.
Thank you, Margaret. Now we move on to letters to the editor, Jane.
This first letter is from Phil Yates. It's headed Farewell, Ron. Sir, I was sorry to read Ron Allison's last contribution to the Hampshire Chronicle after his long association with the paper, September the 30th. I found his articles most interesting to read and will miss his particular style of writing, which I have adapted in my letters and articles. It was always pleasant to have a chat with him, normally in Marks and Spencer's. Have a happy retirement, Ron. You deserve it. And that's from Phil Yates of Tower Street in Winchester.
And Robert Whitmarsh writes about energy use. Sir, I'm sure many readers may wish to compare James Anderson's annual energy use Chronicle letter September the 23rd with their own. His electricity consumption is almost the same as the average for the households in his postcode, and his gas consumption is 70% of the gas average. The averages for Winchester District are 4,800 kilowatts for electricity and 10,900 kilowatts for gas. In our household, we use around 1,700 kilowatts electricity and 9,600 kilowatt gas, representing 29% and 40% of the averages for our postcode, respectively. We have achieved this by ensuring our home is well insulated and we adopt a lifestyle that saves electricity and minimises the demand for heat by attention to the central heating controls and dressing appropriately in cold or cooler weather. Lifestyles probably have even more impact on the fuel consumption of people's cars. We cannot always choose where we live, work and shop, or the availability of public transport, which often consumes less fuel per passenger than a car, although walking and e-cycling are better alternatives for some. There is an urgent necessity to reduce carbon dioxide emissions from using oil or natural gas. Significant energies and emission savings can be made in the home. Similarly, for fuel consumption and emissions from cars, especially by avoiding the most polluting low mile per gallon SUVs or even by running an electric car in low carbon electricity. James Anderson may consider me an eco-extremist, but I am simply someone who is concerned about the world I shall leave for future generations. If we can, now is the time to cut our emissions and reduce our energy bills too, even if the costs a bit more initially to be able to do so. I invite other readers to write in about their own gas and electricity consumptions compared to others in their postcode. Search online for postcode levels electricity for gas statistics 2019. And that was from Robert Whitmarsh of Berwick Avenue, Week, Winchester.
And this is a letter from Mrs. J. Sims, headed Poor Decisions. Sir, in response to a previous letter regarding the Limers site in Upham, I do not whine, I complain, and rightly so. The planning committee listened to the untruths and weasel words of the consultants and not the truths from the locals, so I do not trust the committee. I felt that they needed to dig deeper and use their experience to find the truth. If they had known about the large and very large lorries accessing the Lima's storage site along narrow rural lanes and the committee had still given planning permission, I would have accepted their decision, even though that decision is now causing chaos. Here in the country, we wish to preserve our green and pleasant land. And that's from Mrs. J. Sims of Ashton Lane, Bishop's Waltham.
This letter is entitled Barracks Future and it's from Peter Lamb. Sir, I understand and support the parishes of Littleton and Hairstock in their efforts to keep the green space of the current MOD land. In keeping the green space but not demolishing everything there is much that could be of immense value to Winchester without very much adjustment. I would like to point out the barracks, amongst many things, has the following. A full gymnasium, perhaps could be used as a gymnasium or for sports that require to be inside. A swimming pool with high diving boards, perhaps to be used as a swimming pool. Squash courts, tennis courts and other sports facilities, perhaps used for the same. Lots of accommodation, perhaps to be converted to suitable accommodation for the homeless or those needing to rent. A small rifle range, perhaps to be used by police and rifle club. A large tarmac square, perhaps to be used for parking by persons visiting the above or walking through the wild grass meadows, or even a park and ride for the north of the city. The barracks has other attributes, like two large buildings that could be separate hotels. Perhaps we should start thinking about uses of the existing very expensive infrastructure and not how you can just demolish everything and make a quick buck. Lastly, it has an excellent entrance to and from the road system. If carefully planned, this vast range of infrastructure assets set amongst a green space could be of great value to Winchester, but I cannot feel like lots of things in the past, this once-in-a-lifetime opportunity will be missed. I know this is all flim-flam to the council, but please recognise a golden opportunity when anyone stares you in the face. And that's from Peter Lamb in Northington.
This one's entitled Road Safety. Sir, I'm writing to express my disappointment that the campaign to improve the safety of the junction of the B3047 and Mill Lane, Park Lane in Abbotsworthy has not persuaded Hampshire County Council to take any action. The speed limit along the B3047 through the village is currently 40 miles per hour, in contrast to the other villages in the Itchen Valley, where it is 30 miles an hour. There was recently a collision involving a car exiting Park Lane and Range Rover travelling along the B3047. The Land Rover flipped and smashed into a house in Mill Lane, causing extensive damage to both the building and the vehicle parked in the driveway. The house is still being repaired nearly a year after the collision. It was a miracle that no one was killed. A report from Hampshire County Council officials stated that the car that had flipped was not speeding. If correct, this only goes to prove that 40 miles per hour is too fast. There have been several other accidents at this junction. Councillor Humby personally needs to take a look at this junction before deciding that a lack of fatalities warrants that no action is necessary. And that's from Martin Taylor, Mill Lane, Abbotsworthy.
And this is a letter from Tony Gumner. Privatised maternity, a daft idea. Sir, further to the original letter from John Airy suggesting the removal of maternity care from the NHS and Gary Locke's letter of support, Chronicle, September the 30th, Gary Locke suggests the left won't like it, by which I assume he means those to the left of Adolf Hitler. This may well free up money for social care, but who do they think will carry out the work? The birth rate would plummet and the offspring of the entitled rich wouldn't be interested in such a role. Why not go further? with their discrimination whilst they're at it. Don't treat smokers, drinkers, the overweight, anyone who doesn't eat healthily, anyone who has a sports injury, anyone involved in a road accident, anyone in an accident caused by their own stupidity, and anyone with a sexually transmitted disease, and anyone with any kind of inherited condition. Finally, to link in with the equally informed P. Dollery, Mrs., who doesn't appear to let a fact stand in the way of a sweeping generalisation, don't treat the feckless unemployed who haven't paid in a penny either. And that's from Tony Gummer of Church Lane, Cawdon Common.
Well, with that end to the letters, we move on to the Chronicle editorial comment, please, Jane.
The editorial comment today. A Lido or concert hall in city centre. Support is growing for a Lido, an outdoor swimming pool in the heart of Winchester. We report today that a campaign for a Lido has already garnered more than 1,000 names. The campaign wants to see the now disused River Park Leisure Centre demolished and converted into the open-air attraction. The City Council has recently been consulting the public over the future of River Park, but rather unhelpfully didn't include the future use of the centre. There may be some at the City Council who will argue that the new sports and leisure centre at Bar End means a Lido is somehow superfluous. This misunderstands the nature and the benefits of a Lido that can clearly be seen at other places in Hampshire, such as Lymington and Hilsea in Portsmouth. Other interest groups have their eyes on the leisure centre in Gordon Road, with a purpose-built concert hall having its supporters. The River Park Leisure Centre is a large site, and would it be unrealistic to say that both could be considered? By all means, send your views to letters@hampshirechronicle.co.uk.
Thank you. Now, I think we've got first person, please, Norma.
Yes, and this is entitled The Power from Grief. People tend to buy you notebooks, but I don't know why, Daphne says. But she doesn't want to write. She wants to help others. She doesn't want any parent to go through what she has. You might know Daphne. She's a local artist and art teacher who has made Winchester beautiful for us. Her award-winning, warm, affectionate paintings of its iconic vistas from High Street to Statue to Cathedral to Close have adorned cards and prints for decades. Her scenes are full of energy, of young and old doing stuff. Most of all, they are full of colour. But 2 years ago, Daphne's world went completely dark. We paused to watch video clips of her only son, Tom, some taken by friends, others by a sweet-looking girlfriend. He's handsome, striking, articulate, funny, lively. He's a natural to camera. In his 30s, he's in America doing well, living the dream in Los Angeles. He gets headhunted to run a team in a bigger, successful corporation. Here's where life took a different turn. Bullying in the workplace is horrible. Resentful colleagues who feel threatened or passed over for promotion. The daily microaggressions, the gaslighting designed to shut down your ability to do your job and to mess with your mind. Many of us have felt that knot in the stomach as you walk into the office. It's one of the reasons why all our railway stations now have trespass welfare officers since commuting has restarted. Daphne saw Tom on Mother's Day. He flew back to see her for a few days. He was agitated and stressed. He plans to step off the career ladder and take another path. His goal is to help mankind, he explains. He has begun setting up a company called Know Thyself. We need to know how to look after our minds, he reiterates, how to look after our mental health, to understand when our inner selves need support, and that it's okay to ask for help when we recognise we're not coping. A few weeks later, his girlfriend phoned Daphne at an odd time. She was worried about Tom. He was missing. Daphne was relieved when he called, but he was having a panic attack. He was on the beach. He sounded upset, and she could hear the sound of water splashing. The call finished positively, but a few hours later, a body was found on the surf line. The coroner would record verdict of accidental death. Sometimes I'm reminded of a friend we lost a few years ago. Driving along, I can catch sight of a slim, stylish Winchester woman from the back, blonde highlights, short bob, jeans, body warmer and flat shoes. It's our old friend Joy, I think. But it's never going to be Joy. Fleetingly, I'm full of sadness. But imagine the impact of that experience for a parent who's lost their child. How many young lookalikes might you catch sight of on a daily basis? How many lookalikes of who you imagine he or she could have grown up to be? It must be superhuman strength to manage this kind of sorrow and to keep it together. Daphne has set up a trust called Know Thyself to honour Tom's vision, and with the help of close family and Tom's friends. It is currently raising money to support local organisations like Solent Mind and Mind Apple. We must help young people better manage stress and to be able to read their emotions, she says, to know when we are being pushed to breaking point and to see this is not a weakness. Her aim is to help take this message into schools. She's already been busy. She has painted wonderful winter scenes for a collection of charity cards that will be for sale in Winchester's Xmas card charity shop and on the www.knowthyself.com. Thank you, Daphne, and other parents like you for turning your grief into good. And that was by Joanna Lewis.
Margaret, you've got a couple of items from Balgowran, please.
Indeed. More queues in the city. Commuters have been caught in unusually long traffic queues leaving Winchester this week. But it was nothing to do with the petrol panic. Outbound traffic built up from Bar End back the half a mile up Bar End Road to Chesil Street and the mini roundabout on Bridge Street. The cause was not queuing for fuel, but temporary traffic lights to smooth flow around roadworks being undertaken by Southern Gas Networks outside the Esso petrol station on Bar End Road. The disruption seems set to last a few more days. Normally, the works would have deterred drivers from using the petrol station, but it's been without fuel for much of this week, although it appeared to be back to normal yesterday. The other article is entitled The Sapling Putting Down Roots. It's Winchester Green Week, and always good to be reminded of the beauty of nature. On the weirs in Winchester, just at the Kink in the River course, there is a gnarled old beech tree, at least 100 years old. Balgowran has walked this way thousands of times over the years, but one evening spotted a sapling growing in a nook of the beech. It looks like an ash, worshipped by the Anglo-Saxons as the tree of life, as they noticed it was always the first tree to recolonise an area devastated by fire or landslip. It is certainly adaptable, finding enough sustenance several feet up the beach, but probably not long term. And there is, in fact, a picture of the beech tree with the ash tree growing in a nook about 6 feet up.
Thank you. That that concludes the main items, and now we've got lighting up time ends on Friday the 8th of October at 7:16 a.m. and begins at 6:29 p.m. On Wednesday the 13th of October it ends at 7:25 a.m. and begins at 6:18 p.m. And if you know someone who is sight impaired and would like to receive our recordings, or if you have a problem with the recording you've received from us, please telephone the contact number on the key fob that's attached to the memory stick. And now we continue with further items of general news. Jane.
This is entitled Recycling Rates. Winchester is climbing the county recycling league table, a meeting heard. The City Council now has fastest growing recycling rate in Hampshire, Councillor Martin Todd told the Town Forum. The Cabinet Member for Economic Recovery said the current rate was 42% compared to 37% when the Liberal Democrats took control of the council in May 2019. It now lies second in the table of local authorities in Hampshire, up from third. But overall, Hampshire has the worst recycling rate in the country. Councillor Todd said there'd been a big increase in glass recycling since the lockdown in spring 2020, and garden waste had increased even though Winchester now charges for the service. Hampshire's local councils are also working on plans for food waste and plastic pots, tubs and trays. Trial carton recycling at Worthy Lane Car Park has now been extended to Colden Common, South Wanston, Denmead and Alsford.
Call for help over rural labour shortages. The CLA is calling on the government to step in and help the agriculture sector due to the current labour shortages, especially the pig sector, which is experiencing seriously processing backlog. CLA Deputy President Mark Tufnell said the current labour shortage is having an unprecedented impact on the supply chains. In the pig sector in particular, the labour supply issues at pork processing plants are of a serious concern. This backlog causes animal welfare issues and is economically crippling and extremely distressing for both the farmers and the pigs. We urge the government to act swiftly on the calls for a COVID visa recovery scheme to help ease the current labour shortages. We have seen the government rightly step in to support the poultry sector, but it needs to act to help all agricultural sectors experiencing similar supply chain issues.
Road closures cause chaos. Major roads into the Worthies have been closed at the same time, causing traffic chaos for drivers on Monday. Hampshire County Council has started carriageways resurfacing works on Springvale Road from the junction with Nations Hill up to Wellhouse Lane. The work is expected to take around 2 weeks to complete. Winchester City Councillor for the Worthies, Jane Rutter, has also reported that Loveton Lane between Eversley Gardens and Loder Close is also currently closed. She added that the only access to Springvale is via Church Lane and Nations Hill and questioned whether HGVs should go while the roads are closed. The County Council has said that the work on Springvale Road will see the top of the road replaced with a new asphalt surface. During these works, the road will be closed to through traffic from 9:30 a.m. to 4 p.m. each day. The road will be open outside of these hours and over the weekend.
I should add that that actually was from a tweet, which was on Monday. It's no longer true that Loveton Lane is also closed. It was chaotic at the time, though. Well-known news agency set to close. A well-known Winchester news agency is set to close. Hyde News Agency on Hyde Street was taken over by the current owners in 2018 and is one of the last independent convenience shops in the city. It is thought that the building will be turned from retail use to residential, as that increases the value of the property. This comes shortly after Hyde Street was reopened following a year-long closure to help social distancing. The public have been reacting to the news on social media, with many disappointed about the news, but not surprised. The son of the former owner, Norman Roberts, said, "What a shame. For 20 years, my dad with his partner made it work and a thriving business. Only a couple of years ago did they both retire after putting heart, soul and many long days into it. Sure, there are many factors contributing to its closure. Whatever the reason, a real shame and another local business in a long line to close in Winchester." Another resident said, "Such a shame they can't hang in there for a little longer now the road has reopened. I'm sure the locals who pushed to get the road shut will miss their local shop now it's gone." Former City Councillor Judith Martin said, "There's generally more than one reason for most things. I'd say this was built as a house in the first place, not like many of the obvious lost corner shops. You can tell them by the cut-off corner entrance, designed in a 19th century development." Councillor Dominic Hiscock from Hampshire County Council, who lives on the nearby Worthy Road, said, It's to do with the Conservative government allowing business premises to be converted to residential without having to have planning permission under permitted development rights. The planning requirement has now gone, and now change of use has to be obtained rather than planning permission except in certain circumstances, such as properties in conservation areas and listed buildings. As Hyde News is in a conservation area, there might be a requirement to obtain planning permission, but conversion of this property to residential would be simple and non-intrusive, so is unlikely to be difficult. There is another example of this happening at the former Prince of Wales pub on the corner of Hyde Street and Hyde Close, which is now flats. The value of such properties is enhanced when the use changes from retail to residential. The loss of this shop would be a blow to the community, and feelings are running high, as you can imagine. The current owner of Hyde News Agency was approached for a comment, but was unavailable.
Youngsters tackling crime. Hampshire youth have been a chance to shape how the police fight crime across the country. Serious violence, hate crime and exploitation are top priorities for the Hampshire Youth Commission this year. Young people between the ages of 14 and 24 can speak out on how these issues are tackled. Each year, the Commission has a number of key issues to focus it on it and ask teenagers and young adults across Hampshire for their views and experiences during the Big Conversation consultation. Ideas from previous sessions have led to initiatives such as the Cyber Ambassadors Online Safety Education Programme and an award-winning Unhealthy Relationship campaign, Raise a Flag. Members of the Commission also take part in strategic groups such as the Child Exploitation Board and the Violence Reduction Unit to ensure that young people are given a voice in issues that impact them. Member Olivia Hanna said, "I feel like I'm part of something important. Having a part to play in ensuring that young people have a voice in how best to tackle crime in the community and seeing the direct impact of our survey responses is a very rewarding. Members gain a variety of skills, work and meet with a range of people, including senior police officers, MPs and service providers." The Hampshire Police and Crime Commissioner, Donna Jones, said, "To protect young people from harm and to prevent them getting involved in crime, those of us that make decisions about services for young people, be that police or victim to support, health or education, need to listen to the views of the young people and act on them."
Civic chiefs make promise to accelerate new estate. Winchester City civic chiefs say they will do more to accelerate the building of the King's Barton development. Carla Holmes is building the 2000 home scheme, also known as Barton Farm, on the northern edge of the city. The last King's Barton Forum in July heard that 330 houses had been completed after more than 3 years of building. The opening of Winchester Avenue and the closure of Andover Road to through traffic is due at 650 occupations, as is the park and ride. The community centre and pub is due at 1,000 occupations. Councillor Steve Cremoisen at Full Council asked, "What steps is Council taking to hold Carla to account for delivering on their promises to residents and on infrastructure?" Councillor Russell Gordon-Smith, Cabinet Member responsible for the built environment, said Carla had legal agreements setting out its obligations to both the City and County Councils. He said the agreements cover a range of matters which are being considered by both councils. The lead authority for each matter will depend on the type of infrastructure being provided by the developer, which includes affordable housing, provision of a community building and open space, as well as highway infrastructure improvements and education provision. This infrastructure should be delivered in line with the terms and conditions of the agreements. The City Council activity monitors these agreements. It should be noted that the City Council is not able to take action in relation to the S106 agreement between the developer and County Council. Infrastructure delivery under this agreement is a matter for Carla Holmes and Hampshire. I am pleased to advise that the leader and I, along with the senior officers, met with Carla's managing director in August to discuss implementation and delivery at the site. We agreed that our team would continue to engage with Hampshire in order to assist in unlocking and accelerating the delivery of all of the infrastructure which needs to be provided as part of the King's Barton development. In addition to the King's Barton Forum, we have also agreed to work with Hampshire through a technical group to help increase momentum regarding the delivery of all aspects of the development in accordance with the requirements of the legal agreements. And this is accompanied by two pictures of a distant view of a mass of houses seen from the Andover Road, and also of a picture of King's Barton Winchester Avenue, which is just a straight road with houses on either side.
This story is entitled Lorry Snaps Internet Link. Villagers near Alsford were without the internet for nearly a week after a lorry brought down a power cable. They are furious about the time it took Openreach to fix the problem. Around 30 homes were affected in Avington since last Wednesday. A lorry carrying an excavator hit a tree, snapping the cable on the road into the village from Itchin Abbas near to the River Itchin. One villager, who asked not to be named, said, "It is impacting everything. We have electricity and can get TV, but the only place to get Wi-Fi is the village hall. Locals are furious. They can't comprehend how it can take BT so long to fix. It's ridiculous." Another villager told the Chronicle that the repairs will take even longer. "It's infuriating. The whole village is cut off. We've been told it will not be sorted before this Thursday. There are elderly people in the village and people with health issues, so it's awful," she said. In fact, the issue was sorted on Tuesday. Openreach, the operational arm of BT, said, "This loss of service was caused when a lorry snapped a substantial overhead cable within our network. Work to replace the cable will go ahead tomorrow, Tuesday, as engineers have now completed testing the safety and integrity of all linked telegraph poles along the route. We're very sorry for any inconvenience caused to those impacted by the damage."
Do more for working mums call. Winchester City Council does too little to help working mothers take part in local government and meeting heard. Councillor Caroline Brooke, who has young children, claimed a lack of help is deterring the young from playing a fuller part. She said at a full council, "As a working mother of young children, I often face challenges in attending meetings, with the administration refusing to move key meetings to such as cabinet to a time of day where working councillors can easily attend. Despite being asked many times, it is evident that there is resistance to accommodating and attracting working age councillors to senior positions." Council leader Lucille Thompson said the Lib Dem controlled authority offers support on a case by case basis. For example, councillors are able to claim expenses for childcare, dependent carers' costs, if they're needed to enable attendance at meetings, both during the day and in the evenings. And we have welcomed members caring for very young babies to several meetings in recent times. Councillor Thompson said, "No time is a good time for a working parent. Sorry, I'll read that again. No time is a good time if a working parent has children to look after. We are making meetings more accessible, and it is a great shame the government chose to disallow decision-making meetings to be heard online. During the pandemic, that helped a lot."
Volunteer Army. Kind-hearted Hampshire people are being urged to sign up to join an army of volunteers needed to collect food for charities feeding people in their community this Christmas. The Trussell Trust, which provides emergency food parcels to people in crisis, and Fair Share, which provides food to thousands of frontline charities and community groups, are seeking volunteers to help during this year's Tesco food collection. The collection will take place in every Tesco store in the UK from November the 18th to the 20th, and with many people facing a particularly difficult winter, the need to collect food for the charities is greater than ever. Tesco will be topping up the donations made during the collection with a 20% cash donation to help the charities in their work. The presence of volunteers at the collection has a big impact on the amount of food donated, and Lindsay Boswell, chief executive at Fair Share, encouraged people to get involved, warning that charities will be under pressure this winter. He said, with many people still feeling the effects of the pandemic, and with the huge increase in heating bills and living costs coming in the lead up to the cold winter months, we know that there will be many people turning to their local grassroots organisations for support with food this Christmas. He added, Christmas can be an extremely difficult time for many people, but especially for families facing crisis. We know that in Hampshire, many people will be forced to use a food bank over the festive period because they are unable to afford the essentials. Supporting the Tesco food collection this November by volunteering could make all the difference to your local food bank during this busy period. You could donate a couple of hours of time and volunteer during the collection, or you could donate food to your local Tesco's donation point. Please do get in touch to hear about volunteering opportunities. To volunteer for the collection, please sign up via fairshare.org.uk/food collection or www.trusseltrust or get involved Tesco food collection.
Council parking changes scrapped. Controversial changes to parking in Winchester were withdrawn at the last minute. The County Council had been proposing to centralise parking services across the county in a bid to make the service more efficient. Critics said that it would have made tickets and permits more expensive. The Liberal Democrats reported that the council withdrew the proposals just before 6 p.m. on September the 22nd, the day before they were due to be agreed. Lib Dem spokesperson on the economy, transport and the environment, Martin Todd, said, "These proposals were never fit for purpose, and it's good that following opposition and district council pressure, they've now been withdrawn. Now we need a joined-up plan that isn't just about hiking prices and cutting services. It has to make sure on-street car parking and car parks work together, and also centre on the challenges of supporting our local centres, being fair value for residents, ensuring cost-effective enforcement, and taking on the air quality and climate change challenges that we all face across the county." Hampshire County Council had been proposing to centralise parking services, ending their use as agents of councils, including Winchester, Basingstoke, Eastleigh and Havant, where on-street parking is managed by the district councils. Councillor Todd was concerned that this move will have a major impact on residents. Speaking before the proposal was withdrawn, he said, "The county's plan only talks about raising money, and that inevitably means hiking charges and cutting enforcement. There's nothing in there about making sure our high streets thrive, or that we improve air quality or cut carbon, and no guarantees on the level of service and enforcement that residents will receive, or any recognition that we need to offer good value to residents. There's nothing in there about making sure that on-street and off-street parking rules work together. We've seen in the areas where they already run the service that Hampshire has hiked prices without any improvement in service or any serious consideration of the needs of local business." Hampshire County Council's Executive Member for Highways Operations, Councillor Russell Oppenheimer, had been due to make a decision on Thursday, September the 23rd. A spokesperson for Hampshire County Council said, The decision was made to withdraw the Parking Agency Agreement report from the agenda for the Economy, Transport and Environment Decision Day held on the 23rd of September, following further information and issues being brought to our attention by colleagues at the district and borough authorities. Recalling a paper will allow time for additional due consideration to be given and enable further discussion with our colleagues at the partner authorities. Following this, the report with recommendations will be updated accordingly to reflect the outcome.
Second busker told to move by cathedral staff. A clash in the square almost happened again in Winchester between a musician and cathedral staff. Busker Rick Tarrant was playing in his usual spot outside Winchester Museum when he was approached by a security guard from the cathedral who told him to move. Mr. Tarrant said that the guard said he was an obstruction and threatened to call the police if he didn't leave. The Chronicle approached the cathedral and a spokesperson said the cathedral is very happy for buskers to play by the Lime Avenue entrance and an unreserved apology has been given to the musician who has contacted us regarding this misunderstanding. The security team have been fully briefed following the incident and are clear that buskers are to be warmly welcomed to play near the entrance to the cathedral grounds. We hope the buskers and other performers will return soon and continue their tradition of entertaining and bringing joy to passers-by. Mr. Tarrant was satisfied with his response and said the cathedral had spoken to him to explain the misunderstanding and they were welcome busking in the square. This is the second time the cathedral has had to apologise to a busker, with Marvin B. Naylor told to move by a clergyman. The matter was eventually settled with a private apology.
COVID infection rates in hospitals revealed. More than 300 people are believed to have contracted COVID-19 in Hampshire hospitals at the start of the pandemic, has been revealed. A total of 313 patients are believed to have contracted coronavirus in hospitals in Southampton, Winchester and Basingstoke, while being there for other reasons between March 2020 and January 2021. Of those, 93 died with COVID-19 on their death certificate. Data from a Freedom of Information Act request refers to the so-called definite hospital-acquired COVID infections acquired 15 or more days after hospital admission. According to the data, between March 2020 and January 2021, University Hospital Southampton, NHS Foundation Trust, recorded 119 cases of definite hospital-acquired COVID. Of those 119 patients, 38 died with COVID-19 listed on their death certificate. It comes as between March last year and January this year, the Trust had a total of 2,028 COVID patients, inpatients. Over the same period of time, there were 114 cases of definite hospital-acquired COVID-19 at the Basingstoke and North Hampshire Hospital and 80 at the Royal Hampshire County Hospital in Winchester. Of those 194 patients at both hospitals, the number of those who died with COVID-19 on their death certificates was 31 in Basingstoke and 24 in Winchester. Measures such as restricted visiting, the wearing of PPE and social distancing are in place at hospitals in Basingstoke and Winchester run by Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust. A trust spokesman said, "Each case where a patient may have acquired COVID-19 within our hospitals is taken very seriously and rigorously investigated. Unfortunately, it is not always possible to determine how these occur, not least because the virus has a very variable incubation period. Everyone in the NHS has been on a steep learning curve since March last year, and we are now much better prepared, having continually adapted and improved our processes in light of highly transmissible new variants of COVID-19, emerging evidence and in line with national guidance."
Amazon fly tip. Amazon are remaining tight-lipped over their investigation into the fly-tipping of delivery bags near Winchester. The bags were found last month by Claire Rayner along Sarum Road, dumped by the gates of a field. When initially questioned about this by the Chronicle, the company said, "Amazon strives to be a great neighbour. We are actively investigating this matter." However, when asked by the Chronicle about the results of their investigation, a spokesperson said, "I'm afraid we wouldn't be able to share any details of the investigation."
Hospital trusts regularly miss cancer wait times. Two Hampshire hospital trusts regularly miss cancer waiting time targets over the past 2 years, data has shown. The NHS states that 85% of cancer patients urgently referred by a GP should start treatment within 62 days. But now NHS England data shows that Hampshire Hospitals NHS Foundation Trust fell behind the target in 13 months between April 2019 and July this year. In July, 83% of patients received cancer treatment within 2 months of an urgent referral, and the same level as in June, and a fall from 92% in July 2020. A spokesman for the Trust said, however, "We are committed to ensure that all our patients receive timely care and are proud that Hampshire Hospital cancer care continued throughout the pandemic. However, COVID-19 continues to impact on how we work." They claim that more patients are being referred to the Trust's cancer services, with around 200 additional referrals a month, but added that the Wessex region holds the lowest number of patients waiting over 62 days in the UK. They said, "Although we recognise we have a way to go, our staff continue to work incredibly hard to be there for everyone who needs us, and we remain committed to doing all that we can to improve patient wait times." As well as UHHFT and the NHS England data also shows that University Hospital Southampton, UHS, NHS Foundation Trust, only met this target in 5 months between April 2019 and July this year. In July, just 71% of patients received cancer treatment within 2 months of an urgent referral, down from 73% in June and 95% in July 2019. But the USH spokesman said, "The hospital is absolutely committed to continually improving to provide the best care." They claim that in recent months, the Trust has taken referrals for some of the more complicated treatment pathways and had invested in treatment spaces for cancer patients, improving capacity. The hospital works with regional partners through the Wessex Cancer Alliance, and the spokesman added, "Although recognising the challenges we are facing, through the Alliance, we have contributed to recording some of the highest performance data for waiting times nationally. Significantly, the 28-day faster diagnosis standard for July 2021 across Wessex was above the national average and just over 80%. The pandemic meant that fewer people sought appointments in 2020, but we are now seeing an increasing numbers, which means that the messages about signs and symptoms of cancer are working."
Hopes for Glasgow COP26, and this is written by Andy Lester, who apparently is an Echo reporter. "A number of you have been asking me if I would explain what the upcoming summit is and how it might make a difference to the threat of climate change. The November 2021 event is run by the United Nations and is the 26th Conference of the Parties, COP, where world leaders gather to discuss global policy around climate change. Such is the severity of the threat from the heating of the planet, it has become one of the largest gatherings of leadership. Whilst the talks have taken place annually since 1995 to discuss progress, the last major COP event was in Paris in 2015, where governments made substantial new commitments to keep global temperatures to as close to 1.5 degrees centigrade as possible. At this year's talks, for the first time since 2015, governments may decide to take further action for the climate, such as the severity of the crisis we are facing. The COP conferences have a rotating presidency, and this year it is the UK government's turn to host. That is why we are hearing more from Boris than usual on environmental issues. It is also why there is more attention being given to protests around the country, such as the motorway sit-ins by Insulate Britain. On October the 31st, for 2 weeks, thousands of delegates, charities, business leaders and the world media will descend on Glasgow in the hope that a new solution to the growing crisis can be found. The world is still committed to the 1.5 degrees centigrade that was set in Paris, and yet with current pledges made by governments, we are on track for 2.7 degrees rise in temperature. A rise of that level would be nothing short of catastrophic and leave swathes of Africa, the Middle East and South America uninhabitable. Weather patterns would become unrecognisable. Tens of thousands of species would die. There would be huge global water shortages and famine would impact large new areas of the globe. It is clear that more action will be needed if we are to avert the worst impacts of climate change. So what can we hope for from the Glasgow event? Firstly, that there is a new announcement proclaiming the immediate ending of all new coal-fired power stations. Secondly, the delivery of immediate funds to developing nations to help transition countries that are heavily dependent on fossil fuels to low-carbon technology. Thirdly, a global agreement immediately stopping all deforestation of rainforests. If we were to get just these three commitments by all nations, then we would have made a considerable step away from the cliff edge. Achieving an end to coal, the delivery of sizeable funds and the protection of all remaining rainforests will be no easy task. There are vested interests which will be well represented in Glasgow, from energy companies worried about dropping profits through to presidents and prime ministers who are simply not interested in reining in fossil fuel use. The UK and US, amongst others, will need to lobby countries like Australia, Brazil and Saudi Arabia very hard if we are to achieve a truly life-saving global agreement.
Sports Centre reopens after refurbishment. A leisure centre has reopened after a revamp. Meadowside Leisure Centre in Whiteley reopened on October the 2nd after a £175,000 refurbishment undertaken on behalf of Winchester City Council by new operators Everyone Active. The facility now includes a 50-station gym floor, a new group cycling and virtual studio, as well as two five-a-side floodlit pitches and a three-court sports hall. From 10 a.m. to 4 p.m, residents were invited to an open day to sample the facilities and take part in free group exercise classes. Alison Norman, area contract manager at Everyone Active, said, "We're so excited to celebrate the opening of the newly refurbished Meadowside Leisure Centre, which has been serving the community for over 20 years. The centre plays a pivotal part in helping people to improve their health and well-being, and so we hope the local community will join us for a day of fun-filled activities for the whole family. Residents will be able to enjoy a first-class gym facility with the latest equipment that will provide our local communities in the south of the district with a variety of convenient health and fitness options."
Art Studio offers range of courses for all abilities. An art studio near Winchester is offering a wide range of courses over the coming months. The Hampshire Art Studio at Bransbury near Barton Stacey has a range of courses to cater for people of all abilities. They have many courses for beginners, such as Introduction to Acrylics with tutor Eve Dawson. Courses also cover watercolours, line life drawing and oil painting throughout October and November. Hampshire Art Studio covers a wide range of art courses, which includes the introduction to mixed media and monoprinting with Sarah Capes. This course, November the 17th, 24th and the 1st of December, will help students discover the many ways to create interesting textures and pieces in a fun way, taking inspiration from the surroundings of the studio. Other courses in the studio include Minotaur, Satire, Harpy, Seraph, Cockatrice with Kate Meesham, October the 13th and 20th, which will show an array of hybrid creatures from myth and folklore, with students recreating their own versions in 3D model form or 2D painting or drawing. Also, Drawing Plants and Botanical Details with Elizabeth Hammond, November the 16th, 23rd and 30th, where the various technical and creative aspects of this type of drawing are covered, capturing the movement and energy of the plants. These courses, along with many more, will be held in the studio. However, they will be offering some online. Hampshire Art Studio co-owner Claire Dryden said, "We're really looking forward to this autumn and winter's programme, offering something for the beginner and more established artists and taught by our tutors who are all eminent in their field of practice, but encouraging and understanding." And there's two pictures. The first is of the building, which actually it looks beautiful. It's sort of wood with lots and lots of windows, as you would expect because of the light. It looks really nice. And there's another picture of the inside of the building with a couple of ladies doing some very modern type painting. And the inside has got sort of beams as well, so it looks really pleasant place to be.
Drop New Town Proposal Call. Campaigners fighting long-term plans for a new time at Mitchell Deaver Station have welcomed the City Council's rejection of new settlements as a way to meet Winchester's housing need over the next 20 years. The Deaver Society is now calling on the promoters of the 8,000-home New Town at Mitchell Deaver Station to withdraw the scheme. Last month, the Council announced the death of the Royal Down scheme after it had been removed from the authorities' Sheila Strategic Housing and Employment Land Availability Assessment. Responses to the Council's consultation on the new local plan shows that of the four options proposed, new settlements was ranked the worst by most people who responded. Limited support came mainly from those promoting Mitchell Deaver Station and Royal Down. The Council has now decided to take forward a development strategy for the new local plan that rejects new settlements. The Deaver Society is calling on landowner John Magnier and his developer O'Flynn Group to abandon the Mitchell Deaver New Town scheme. Since 1990, local people have defeated numerous attempts to have the land earmarked for a new town of up to 12,500 houses. The family of Mr. Magnier, the Irish bloodstock multimillionaire, bought the Sutton Scotney estate in 2016 for a reported £45 million from Zurich Insurance. Deaver Society Chairman Tessa Robinson said, "We're delighted, if unsurprised, about the scale of rejection for a new town in the district. The council has rightly said that a new town at Mitchell Deaver is the wrong scheme for the district and is neither wanted nor needed. With the withdrawal of Royal Down, Mitchell Deaver is the only remaining large new town still being promoted in Winchester District. 30 years after the new town was first proposed, it has once again been rejected in no uncertain terms. The landowner should put the scheme out of its misery and abandon it for once and for all." A spokesman for the promoter of the site said, "O'Flynn Group has noted with interest the proposed way forward for preparation of the new Winchester local plan. Our view is that considerably uncertainty remains over the direction that the City Council will need to take in its next local plan. The Council's recommended way forward suggests it is possible to continue with the same allocation distribution as under the existing local plan adding even more development in the south of the district. This is despite ongoing uncertainty over South Hampshire's unmet need, which could significantly boost Winchester's housing target. The availability of sites and appetite of local communities in the south of the district for an as yet unknown amount of development remains to be seen. The plan process has a very long way to go, and several iterations of a draft local plan will have to be produced over the next 3 years and will be subject to consultation and amendment. The government is also committed to bringing forward revisions to the local plan process that will inevitably impact on the process being embarked on by the City Council. The Council, Sheila, identifies Mitchell Deaver Station as a suitable, available and achievable site which could deliver new homes, employment and infrastructure. It should remain on the table for the Council to consider.
Students celebrate degree success at delayed graduation. Students from Peter Simmons College Adult and Higher Education Division celebrated achieving their degrees at a ceremony at the Hospital of St Cross. There were 178 students who attended the ceremony, collecting awards from 7 degree subjects in either a foundation degree or a full honours degree. Some students should have graduated in 2019, but their ceremony was delayed due to the pandemic. The majority of these graduates returned to education as mature students after a long period out of education, opting to upskill, retrain, or find a new direction in life. Director of Adult and Higher Education, Dom Thompson, said to study part-time, balancing work and family life, is hard enough, but to do this through a global pandemic with isolation, lockdowns and homeschooling is phenomenal. The teaching team, rightly so, are incredibly proud of what the students have achieved, as am I. To see so many smiling students and proud, sometimes tearful, supporters demonstrated the importance that higher education in a further education setting has. For many of these students, it's a second chance, sometimes a career change or a time to come back to education after raising a family. What these students have achieved and will go on to achieve in their new careers is fantastic. And there's a lovely photograph showing all the students in their degree robes, tossing their caps into the air and all looking very smiley and happy in front of St Cross Church.
Lorry driver jailed for killing motorcyclist. A lorry driver who killed a motorcyclist while he was on a hands-free phone call and momentarily missed a cyclist has been jailed for 8 years. Lucien Soren Tordo, 52, was travelling along the A32 at Warnford when he said he saw a cyclist at the last moment on June the 29th, 2019, and crossed double white lines on a restricted bend. The manoeuvre forced two cars to drive onto the grass verge to avoid a collision, but Jack Burgess, 22, who was riding a Yamaha motorcycle, braked and fell off his motorbike. The wheels of Tordor's trailer scrubbed against Mr. Burgess's head. Tordor of Andrew Crescent, Waterlooville, heard a noise like a clap and stopped up the road, but drove off because he did not believe he had caused a collision. Mr. Burgess was rushed to hospital but died the following day. Tordor, who was an agency worker for Fowler Welch, stood trial at Winchester Crown Court and was found guilty of causing death by dangerous driving. He was jailed on Friday for 8 years and disqualified from driving for 10 years and 4 months. The sentencing, the recorder of Winchester, Judge Angela Morris, said, "The reality is that by performing a wholly unnecessary overtaking manoeuvre on a blind bend of a single carriageway road, which was restricted by double white lines, you put other road users at very serious risk of harm." The judge added, "You did not lift a finger to help that young man whose death you caused. You did not call the police and you did not offer to provide comfort and you left without providing your details to anyone." Tordo had been on a hands-free call for 46 minutes, which carried on when he was momentarily stopped at the scene and after. Mr. Burge's family were given the first opportunity to address Tordo by giving victim impact statements. His twin sister Abigail Burgess said everything her brother did was with passion and he had a zest for life. In mitigation, Mark Ashley said, I suspect that the biggest regret that he has got apart from not seeing the cyclist, is that he left the scene quickly. He can see that it doesn't look good. He stopped because he didn't know what happened and it's clear that he was desperate that he wasn't the one that caused the collision. And there's a picture of Mr. Tora and of his lorry crossing the double white line.
Petrol crisis. The petrol crisis in Winchester continued into the latter part of last week and the weekend. Petrol stations throughout the city were forced to close as they had run out of both petrol and diesel. It appears that the situation is now improving as the government announced that the army has been drafted in to help with the shortage of HGV drivers. The situation not only affected motorists, but buses were also delayed as queues were caused from tailbacks at petrol stations.
Restrictions lifted for counties tips. Some restrictions have been lifted on visits to Hampshire household waste recycling centres. Hampshire County Council, at a meeting on September the 31st, agreed to lift the one visit per week limit for residents using one of its 24 household waste recycling centres. Winchester MP Steve Brine had been calling for all restrictions to be lifted, but the council, controlled by the same party, has declined to do that. Ironically, the Tory-controlled council has the support of the Lib Dem opposition, which favoured some controls, such as the booking system. Mr. Brine said the retained controls were an example of mission creep and restrictions kept in place to benefit the operator, not the users who pay for the service. In an announcement made at a meeting of the full county council, Councillor Rob Humby, deputy leader, confirmed the decision. He said, "We have listened to residents and believe that now we are further into the pandemic recovery phase and entering a time of year when, historically, demand for site visits starts to reduce, the time is now right to increase opportunities to access household waste recycling centres. I'm pleased to confirm that from the 4th of October, residents will no longer be limited to one visit per week. While the requirement to book visits online will remain in place for at least the time being, residents will be able to book visits to suit their needs. I would ask residents to make the most of each visit and to separate out items for reuse and recycling to help us reduce the amount of waste that has to be disposed of. By making this move now, as we are about to enter winter operating hours, we can ensure that the demand during reduced opening times can be met." The new arrangement came into effect on Monday. While there will be no limit on the number of bookings per week, the County Council requests any bookings made which later are not required are cancelled so that they can be given to others. Lib Dem Councillor Martin Todd, spokesman for Economy, Transport and Environment, said, "I was originally a booking system sceptic, but it's clear that it's got good support in most of the county, particularly where there has historically been a problem with queues."
Pantomime heading to the city centre. The Winchester Pantomime is back at the end of the year with the cast returning for their third show in a row. Aladdin is coming to the Theatre Royal Winchester starring Julian Eardley, Ed Thorpe and Libby Gore, who performed in last year's socially distanced panto-inspired Christmas show Four Dames in Search of a Panto, and Dick Whittington in 2019. This year, Julian plays Widow Twankey in his 12th year in Winchester playing a dame. Ed Thorpe returns to play Wishy Washy. Ed first performed in the panto in Winchester as Smee in Pinter Pan, for which he was nominated in the Great British Pantomime Awards for Best Song Sheet Performance. He then went on to play Wally in Beauty and the Beast, the title role in Dick Whittington. Libby Gore will be returning this Christmas to play the title role in Aladdin. Libby's first pantomime in Winchester was Dick Whittington in 2019, where she played Fairy Bo Bells, and last year Libby played one of the dames in The Four Dames in Search of a Panto. The pantomime will once again be produced by the same creative team with writer, lyricist and director James Barry and composer Simon Slater. This successful partnership were nominated for their original musical score for Beauty and the Beast and at the Great British Pantomime Awards. James Barry was also nominated for Best Script for Dick Whittington. Aladdin at Theatre Royal Winchester runs from December the 4th to January the 2nd, 2022. Tickets are available from the theatreroyalwinchester.co.uk or call 01962 840 440. And there's a wonderful picture of Julian Eardley as Dick in Dick Whittington pantomime of 2019, dressed up as a dame, and he's got a multicoloured and multi-floral outfit with a lot of bows in checks, and I don't tell you what is over the bust area. It is rather indecent.
Basic Spank meeting. Winchester's Basic Bank recently held its first annual meeting for over 2 years at the Vineyard Church in Bar End. Chairman Mike Whitehead said, "After such a long time dealing with the pandemic, it was great to have a meeting in person with so many of our supporters, volunteers, referral agents and City Council representatives present. The audience heard about how Winchester Basics Bank had to cope with demand for emergency food shooting up 3 times almost overnight at the start of the first lockdown. Since then, it has added facilities and now has 4 food hubs located around the city and in Alsford, a fully stocked clothes hub catering for all adults and children at the Vineyard Church and a recently opened bulk sorting and storage site in Winnall. To donate, contact the Basics Bank."
Shortlisted poets revealed for Festival Prize. The long list for the Poetry Prize for the Winchester Poetry Festival has been announced. The list of 25 poets from across the UK has been announced by Judge Jacqueline Safra for the biannual Poetry Festival, which takes place at the Winchester Discovery Centre. There will be a prize of £1,000 for the best poem, and a prize is also available for the best poem written by a Hampshire-based poet. The festival takes place from October the 8th to the 10th and is the culmination of a 5-month programme of online events. The lineup for the festival includes Things Being Various featuring Irish poet and Professor of Poetry Paul Muldoon. There will also be readings and performances by the poets Liz Berry, Patience Agbabi and Romolyn Anty, as well as with Hampshire poet Catherine Beavis and Winchester Muse. It will also celebrate the poet on the High Street residency undertaken by Johnny Fluffypunk, which was supported by the National Lottery Heritage Fund, Winchester City Council and Winchester Business Improvement District. Over the past few months, Johnny, a stand-up poet and performer, delivered workshops and performance events in and around the city. Jane Bryant, chair of Winchester Poetry Festival, said, "The challenges of the pandemic meant we had to rethink differently about how we were going to provide a festival this year, and we felt that a hybrid approach of online and real-world activity would give us the best chance of reaching the widest possible audience. We are delighted with how the festival has been enjoyed by so many people, especially those in other countries who may not have been able to experience what we have offered in the past. And now our attention is turning to the live events in October, which is very exciting. We are looking forward to seeing everyone and to being able to experience in person what makes poetry truly special." And there's a lovely picture of the organisers behind a Winchester Poetry Festival stand with lots of books of poetry, all waving their books in the air and smiling cheerfully.
National Park Authority against bridge infill plan. A National Park Authority is contesting the proposed infill of a bridge on its land. As previously reported, the bridge on Stoke Road near Itchen Abas has been planned for infilling by Highways England, only for the work to be put on hold. The bridge is on the land on the edge of the South Downs National Park, which is owned by the South Downs National Park Authority. The disagreement is over the planned permission required to carry out the work. Highways England have said that the work can be carried out using permitted development powers because they say the bridge poses serious threat to death or injury. The SDNPA has insisted that a planning application is required. The HRE Group, an alliance of the Greenway developers, has said the infilling schemes are being driven through against wider public interest. Matt Skidmore, a member of the group, said, "This is typical of the behaviour we've seen from the company over the past few months. It is disgraceful and unwarranted act by a disreputable organisation that couldn't care less about the building of a better future. If the infilling work were to go ahead, it would block the Watercress Way." Trevor Beattie, chief executive of the SDNPA, said, "We are pleased that the government has halted plans to fill in disused railway bridges. The authority questioned the use of the emergency powers and we are pleased that our concerns have been taken into consideration. We now await the details of a review by the Department for Transport and are working with the National Highways to consider plans for the maintenance of the bridge, which is under potential future for active travel corridor."
Thank you, and that concludes our extracts for this week. So thank you to our editors, copying and memory stick preparation teams. And of course, thanks to our readers, Jane Rutter.
Thank you and goodbye.
Norma York.
Goodbye.
And Margaret Boyden.
Goodbye.
And from me, Keith Vincent, goodbye and do have an enjoyable week. And when you finish with this week's recording, please put the memory stick back in the wallet and return it as soon as possible, placing the address label inside the wallet. Thank you.